I also would like to greet all of you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord, in particular our guests who have come from far to spend these days with us, or to say it in a better way, to experience God together with us. And we will just briefly ask that the brethren introduce themselves. The evening runs totally different than originally planned. I just hoped that everyone just comes and tells his name and extends greetings. But we take everything from the Lord as it comes. I hardly believe that there is a place where the word of the Lord is put so much into the foreground and is preached in such a way as it takes place here. Perhaps I should continue with a very short testimony. I am grateful to all brothers with all my heart who in their countries worked with me and have taken care that God's word could be spread. I think on my last visit in Zaire, there the brother from Kolwezi came and paid for a private plane, and we were flying from Lubumbashi to Kolwezi. This touched me very much. One sees, and as he says, it were around 1,500 people. In these countries are many people who were in Christianity, but who remained unsatisfied in their heart, and who received the word of the Lord with joy. And the same applies to Asia, as also to Africa, in comparison to Europe. Here, the people are satisfied or not, but they don't like to have something to do with God. They want to believe, but only that what they have taken over as a religion, without bothering what God has said. I myself, in the month of May of this year, I look back on exactly 20 years when I resigned end of April 1966. On the 8th, 9th and 10th of April, I was in the USA and watched how Brother Branham was buried. It was on the 9th of April 1966, a day which I hardly can forget. On Sunday, the 10th of April, was Easter, and I was there in the tabernacle, and everything was very sad. Nothing looked like a resurrection or joy. But when I returned into the room of my motel, not hotel but motel, it began to speak in my heart. The time has come to give out the food. And you can imagine what went on within me. I was reminded on the speaking of the Lord on the 2nd of April 1962. And on that, what I was told on the 3rd of December of the same year. And now, suddenly, this has come into reach. And you know, every beginning is difficult. I returned, and the first thing I did, I handed in my resignation. And no one knew how it would start, let alone how it should go on. But by the grace of God, we may testify that the Lord, in an incomparable way, He was with us, that his word could be carried unto the ends of the earth. After all, there are now over 90 countries into which I traveled, many like India, more than 20 times, and not only in a few cities, but many times strenuous travelings. But I would do everything again for the sake of the precious souls who have heard the word, who were saved, who became believers. So in looking back, I may say the trouble was worth it. There will be a rich harvest with the Lord. I could go into many details. The most wonderful time of my life was from 68 to 78, where we had the radio programs. It was very interesting. The translations here, the travelings, the correspondence, the radio sermons, many times in the plane, just a scripture, a thought, noted it down, having returned and then preaching the sermons. It was a wonderful time. I wished that it could become true, that we could get even a greater opportunity to proclaim the word of the Lord in several languages and probably in many countries. If it is in the will of God, it will take place. All things are possible for him who believes. And I remember that what Brother Branham has heard when he, during his lifetime, was transferred into paradise and saw there the multitude dressed in white. Then a voice said, "If you would not have gone, then we would not be here." Paul writes in Romans 10, "How shall the people hear it if no one preaches to them? How shall one preach to them unless he is sent by God?" And here we have the wonderful word in the scripture. He who is sent from God, he speaks the word of God. And something else we don't want and we don't need: God's infallible, holy word we want to carry and preach it faithfully until the Lord comes. One wish we do have, that still many, many people would be brought to the Lord, receiving forgiveness, being pardoned by him, receiving eternal life, and thus together with us spend eternity. Let me read from the word of God, from the prophet Jeremiah, three scriptures. Before I do this, I would like to say, because Brother Rus didn't mention the scripture, it was Zechariah 10, verse 1. "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." I believe that we live in that time in which God wants to fertilize everything once more. But it is necessary that we lay off the burdens which depress us, that we everything what wants to hinder us, that we put it away from us, and that we receive a bit of the mentality of our African brethren, to be happy and free, thanking the Lord with all our hearts for that what he did already, and by faith we can say that he will also do the rest. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20, I read verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The men of God, the prophets of the Lord, all who were called by him to preach his word, they had no own choice, no veto. God has called, sent, commissioned. He has given his word. He revealed his will, whether these men liked or not. They had to go. They had to speak, and this in the name of the Lord. The same applies to us in these days. Sometimes I would like it when everything would be over and we could be with the Lord. But if we assume that God will still call people, and if he would like to use us for it, then should not only I, but all be ready to be available for the Lord. All of you, who you consecrated your life to the Lord, say it or think it, whichever way you like. Did life even make sense without having been lived for God? Is a life which is lived without God, is it filled with a content? If so, then it is painful and often associated with a lot of hardship. A life that is lived with God and for God has a meaning and purpose and was worth to have been lived. The prophet writes here, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." The second scripture from Jeremiah 15, verse 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." What a wonderful word. As your orders came, I did eat them. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." What is your and my spiritual food? It is God's word. But not only food with words, but in the deed, by obeying what the Lord has said and what he demanded in his word. And one does what he says. "As often your words came, I did eat them." Man needs bread, he needs food. Here an order of the Lord comes, and the man of God says, "This was my food." The earthy man shakes with his head and walks away and says, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." In the moment where we experience the Lord and God has become a reality to us, then also His Word became a divine reality. Jesus said, and it's already written in Deuteronomy, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. The word of the Lord came forth. We got it freshly revealed. We received a relationship to God and His Word, not outward things, which as a religion veil in mankind, but in the heart we were addressed. God has spoken to us through His Word, and we have a relationship with Him and His Word. His word, His orders became our food, and Thy instructions were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. May this, in these days, become true with all of us, that the word of the Lord, everything what He commanded, all His orders, that they could become our spiritual food, and even more, Thy instructions were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. There are people who do it so toilsome. If the Lord says that they should come to Him, believing in Him, being baptized and so forth, then they hesitate, then they have no joy. But if we experience God, then everything becomes different. If we receive His word in us and let it work in us as a food, then also we can say, Thy instructions were unto me a joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. After which name are we called? We call ourselves Christians. Yes, there are many of them. But we have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. We bear His name. We are joined with Him, with His word, with His name, deeply. Without that, we could not live anymore. Thy instructions were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Can we all say this? Have the instructions given in the Word of God been a joy in our heart? Or do we perceive it as a yoke that was laid on us, that constricts us, that somehow no longer leaves us the freedom of movement that we actually want? Let us claim it by faith. Thy instructions were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. People who hear the word of God and believe it and understand that on it salvation depends, by that they become doers of the word and not just remain hearers, into them comes a deep inward joy, and they see that God's grace met them, that they were led and called to Him, and that they can make a new beginning with Him. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, it says, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls.
und dann wandelt auf ihm. So werdet ihr Ruhe finden für eure Seelen.
What a wonderful word. Thus saith the Lord tonight to all of us. Step over there and look around and search for the old path of God, for the narrow way on which our brothers and sisters walked in the past times to be saved. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the way. We shall look for the way of salvation. There are many ways that lead to destruction. There's only one way, only one truth, only one life, only one salvation, only one bliss, and all this is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Step here. Remain standing. Look around. Search for the way of the past time. Find the path, the old path, and then walk on it. And it says here literally, which is the way of salvation. A promise in the Old Testament. There is a no other salvation, and there is no other name given to men under heaven but the name of Jesus. Stand still, pause, look around, search for the old good way. Find the door that leads to this way. And Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is all in all. Search, remain standing, look around, and ask for the old paths, the way that should be walked, which is the way of salvation. This is the gospel already in the Old Testament, the good news which was announced, and in Jesus Christ it became reality. And then it says so nice, complimentary, then walk therein, not only to see the way, not only to hear of it, but when we have found it, then walk on it. Whoever wants to reach a destination must go on his way. He must not stop. He has to walk on, which is the way of salvation, and then walk on it. And ye shall find rest for your souls. This word could be written somewhere in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, or in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will refresh you. I will give you rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here, we are already told in the prophetic word, then walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We not only have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, and when the body is laid into the grave, then the soul has left the body beforehand. And we would like to say to all who have not yet consecrated themselves to God, who have not yet entrusted their life to the Lord, who have not yet recognized the necessity to come to Him. Believe me, without Him, you can live here, but not there. There, only those can live who received divine life, that is, eternal life. And as the Holy Scripture says it, who have been born again. You may ask, on the day of Pentecost, such a sermon? Beloved, if we want to experience Pentecost tomorrow, then we have to create the conditions today, responding to it, to inwardly sort out the things with God. Just think of it. At that time, the brothers and sisters experienced all this with the Lord so freshly, not only the crucifixion, but they have seen Him as the risen one. And the Holy Scripture says in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, that the Lord was for 40 days among His brethren and spoke with them about the kingdom of God. We have to be brought into the presence of God, that we are overwhelmed as they were at that time, that Calvary, all the work of redemption, could be newly transfigured unto us, and that we penetrate and get happy for the forgiveness and the grace to thus open our hearts with gratitude, coming into the presence of God, and then receive and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. It says here in Acts chapter 1 from verse 2, maybe last part of verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after that He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What a mighty testimony! These men have said the truth. They didn't need to write stories. They were witnesses of His suffering, witnesses of His ministry, witnesses of His resurrection, witnesses that He spoke with them about the kingdom of God. And then He has given them the last commandments, and He sent them out and said, He who hears you, hears me, and he who receives you, receives me. It was the divine commission which they received to carry the word of God, to bring to mankind God's offer of grace, whether they would receive it. That is up to everyone. Some become believers. Others turn down the call of the Lord. Today, we cordially invite that all receive and accept our Lord who have not done it yet. The Bible does not contain stories, but it bears record of that what really took place. Jesus Christ has defeated death. He conquered hell and rose on the third day from the dead. This overwhelmed our brothers and our sisters beyond measure at the beginning. He said to John, when he met him on the Isle of Patmos, "Behold, I was dead, but now I live forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell." How must our brothers and sisters have felt who saw him being crucified in weakness, but in might saw him again as the risen one, when he then said, "To me is given all power in heaven and on earth." He has the power. He has it tonight here. Surrender to him, and you will experience the power of God. You will sense that the power of God is stronger than all the powers of darkness and the powers of this world, that we can serve the Lord as people who were pardoned, whom he has drawn to himself. The Lord gave the last commissions, and then he was taken from his own into glory. And then it says in verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Who of us is today overwhelmed that the Lord, who was born into a body of flesh, being found in fashion as a man, but then he ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us. And he said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, "If I went and prepared the place for you, then I will come again to receive you unto myself, that you are there where I am." We are not only overwhelmed that the Lord finished the work of redemption, that we were pardoned, but that already here we received eternal life, that God paid our debt, he atoned for our sin through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we found rest for our souls. I say again, if we tomorrow want to experience Pentecost, then we must have been pardoned by the risen one, by the resurrection power, and having been penetrated. There must come a very new, overwhelming over us, for the whole world lies in wickedness. All religions are in wickedness. Jesus Christ didn't bring us a religion. He revealed unto us God. He could say, "He who sees me sees the Father." He brought us eternal life. For thus it is written, "He who has the Son of God has eternal life." Many places could be listed and recited. We know the Holy Scripture. So it is about that also we, as believers, are newly overwhelmed of that what God has done in Christ for us. We were those condemned by God. We should have died. He, the innocent one, took our place. Our chastisement was laid on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. Through the prophet Jeremiah, that's how we read it, God already announced, "Stand still, look around, search for the old path, look for this good old way. It is the way of salvation." And this way of salvation, we have to seek, we have to find, we have to step on, we must walk on it. And the last part in this verse is very, very important. "And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." I time and again said it in evangelistic campaigns. When our Lord died on the cross of Calvary, he didn't fold his hands together or lay them on his lap. No, they were stretched out, nailed down on the cross. By it should be said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will refresh you. I will give you rest for your souls." His arms are still today stretched out for a lost world. Salvation is here on Calvary for all who can believe with all their heart. And also this, we repeatedly said, we can believe God. In God we can trust. We are convinced that the Holy Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that we have here God's Word. Walk on this way. It is the way of salvation. Walk on it, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I believe that every person who was not yet saved will still experience it, that suddenly an unrest, an uncertainty spreads when one quietly thinks about what might happen after death. And then such a fear creeps up. But thanks be to our God. Death is overcome. The debt is paid for. The sin is forgiven. Man is born in sin, but he does not need to die in sin. He was redeemed. Our guilt and sin was laid upon the Lamb of God. Oh, that we all, as believers, could be manifested as the fruit of that what happened on Calvary. That we, as the result of the price which was paid there, already here, could live for the glory of God. That every one of us could be a sermon, a living letter, a testimony of the suffering, of the dying, of the forgiveness, of the grace, of the salvation, of the new life with God, that we could be a living testimony of all that, what God has done in Christ on the cross of Calvary for us. I think that God will bring us to it, that at the end there will be a church in which all the promises of God have become reality as they found fulfillment in Christ. So they will find fulfillment in His church. Him death could not hold, because it was written in Psalms, I will not suffer that my Holy One sees corruption, neither that you leave my soul in hell. Satan, who reigns in hell, sadly also still among the people, if he would only be down, then we would not have all the difficulties. But he is still in the air and works from there, and he influences the people. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, has won the victory. And believe me, also therein, God's word will be fulfilled, that all his enemies will be made his footstool. Jesus Christ, our Lord, will manifest the victory. He will, at the end, have the greatest triumph of all times with his people. And we believe him with all our hearts. God stopped us. We have become still. We remain standing. We looked around us. We saw many ways, many directions. And suddenly, we heard the voice of the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who finds me, he finds life, salvation, and the abundance of it. Without him, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. Many ways are here, but we have, thanks be to God, found this one way, this one truth, this one life, the way of God, the truth of God, the life of God, the word of God, the grace of God, the kingdom of God, the people of God. That's what's all about in these days. Walk on it, and ye shall find rest for your souls. May our feet be placed on the way of salvation and of peace. May God make people out of us who received his peace and who carry it on. People who are worthy of his glory here on earth. Yes, who bring glory to him through their life, through faith, whatever God gives us and whichever way he wants to use us. And ye shall find rest for your souls. May God give us this peace that is higher than all understanding of men by his grace. A hymn writer sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart rejoices. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, may we tonight in our prayer together supplicate it from the Lord, that he gives us this peace anew, this forgiveness, this salvation, this grace, that we today could receive from his fullness grace for grace, peace like a river. That's how already the prophet Isaiah announced it, life and the abundance of it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us receive it today, and may God give us grace and help us to experience it anew. When we afterwards sing the song 300, if we can still sing it, that we then sing it with a true heart, when peace like a river penetrates my soul. Also we, as believers, had to let some kind of shadow come over us. And also we must come again to the Lord and receive the peace with God in our soul, and this salvation which God gave us, to experience it anew in its fullness. Full salvation teaches our Bible. This is the day of salvation. And here it is written, this is the way, the old way, on which our brothers and our sisters at the beginning walked. The way of God, the straight way of the prophet John, the preparer of Jesus Christ. Of him it is written, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the highway for our God. The way is prepared. We just need to enter it. It is the way of salvation. Let us come to the Lord, and we will experience him anew, or probably also for the first time. And I would like to lay it on their heart, who did not make yet this experience. Just try it. Call upon the name of the Lord. This you have to do. By the preaching, God speaks with us. In prayer, we speak with God. We give him the answer to that what he has spoken to us through his word. What will be your answer? Just say, Lord, here I am. I come to you. You have stretched out your arms. I want to have peace with you, rest and peace with God and in my soul. I want to have forgiveness and eternal life. God will give it to all who call upon the name of the Lord by his grace. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and sing Just As I Am. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, or look to the dust from which we were taken and to which we have to return according to the body, asking ourselves where we will be, not on which cemetery our body will be buried. This is unessential. The main thing is that we know where we will be. A hymn writer asks in the following way, where will you be in eternity? This is the question which touched all of us. Where will I be Where will you be with them who got lost or with them who got saved? The broad way is a way of the masses. All walk on it from their birth. Suddenly we come to know of a new living way, of the way of salvation, of the narrow way that leads to life. And we are faced with a decision whether we want to walk on the broad way with the masses to destruction, as our Lord says it to us in Matthew 7, or whether we would like to obey the call of God and look around us and ask for the old good way which God prepared for us, for the way of life, the way of salvation, the way of God. May the Lord speak to us while we sing the chorus again. And then I ask whoever would like to make his decision to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to receive peace with God, and to get rest into the soul, may he make his decision now. We sing once again, Just As I Am. While all heads are bowed, I would like to ask whether somebody would like to dedicate his life to the Lord. If it is so, raise your hand briefly for a sign and put it down again. God bless you. Is somebody else? Do you want to dedicate your life to God? I believe that was it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart that you still call, that people are still here who suddenly become aware of that they are on the broad way that leads to destruction. Faithful Lord, then they look around and suddenly they see you, the crucified one. They see a new way, a living way, the way of God. Faithful Lord, we pray together for all who have raised their hands. Faithful God, you have spoken to them, you called them, and one soul is more valuable than the whole world. Faithful Lord, we pray together now. May they find your way. May they find you. May they step on this way. That means may they walk with God. Faithful Lord, that it may happen now in your wonderful name. And that they find rest and peace in their soul. Faithful God, it is still the time of grace. You are still calling the people, but soon the door will be closed and the grace will be over and the door will be shut, and then the people will come and knock, but it will be opened no more. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, for your grace, for the salvation, for the forgiveness, for the new eternal life. Be merciful to everyone who made their decision. Call the last ones out so that the number gets complete and that you can return. Faithful God and us, may you fill with new joy, with new peace, with new bliss penetrating us. Lord, take everything away, what saddened the relationship with you. Faithful God, arise as the Sun of Righteousness with healing under your wings. Lord, we believe in a full salvation which was given to us, to you, the living God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who were newly added. Lord, perform thou a full work in them by your word, by your blood, and by your Holy Spirit. We commit them to you and to your grace. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. We remain in prayer for a moment. Maybe there are some who have special requests, prayer requests. If this is the case, raise briefly your hand. Yes, there are some. There are prayer requests. Let us pray. Before we pray, we sing the chorus, "Only believe." Receive it by faith. Faithful Lord, together we thank you with all our hearts that you keep your promise and that you are present where people are gathered in your name. And if it would be the smallest number, then you would be present because you said it. We believe you. We trust you. You are present. You walk through our rows. You save. You heal. You deliver. You bless. Faithful God, you have seen the raised hands. You know the needs. You know of the problems, Lord. We ask you together, confirm thy word, glorify thy name, answer the requests and the supplication of our brothers and sisters. Give them that for what they prayed for. May it be given to them. It is ready for them since Calvary. It is finished. Faithful Lord, we receive it by faith and we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You may be seated.